Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for finding time to be here with us. And I want to thank Mr. Gregorian for his introduction and for organizing this event. I'm pleased to be back in Yerevan. You said you know me. I should say I know you, because actually this is my fourth visit in 3 years. I've been here twice in my capacity of the Slovak Foreign Minister and twice in my European capacity. And every time I'm visiting Armenia, it's part of my regional tour, and I try to include Georgia and Azerbaijan as well, and I found it useful. And I'm really pleased to have the chance to speak about the European Union, about the EU policy towards this region, which we call South Caucasus, and about the programs and about the plans and ambitions we have, and I'm looking forward to our discussion afterwards. Before speaking about the European Union's policy, let me say a few words about the European Union itself. There's been, of course, a lot said about the European Union, mostly repeating the word crisis and the problems EU is facing, and that's true. We have our challenges. But we must not forget that the European Union is the most successful global model of integration in several ways. First of all, politically, European Union is a peace project. European Union managed to eliminate the risk of war from our vocabulary, and this has been acknowledged by granting the Nobel Peace Prize to the European Union. European Union has been the most successful model of integration economically. EU is the biggest economy in the world in terms of GDP. EU is the biggest common market in the world. European Union is, in most cases, the biggest investor in the world. And the European Union is by far the biggest provider of assistance, development assistance or humanitarian assistance. And of course, the European Union guarantees the highest standards of the protection of human rights, all sets of human rights, including economic, social and other human rights. We must not forget that this is what EU represents every time we speak about the European Union. That is, and despite the crisis, despite the problems we are facing, there is no other integration of countries that would come any place near to the standards which are already achieved by the European Union. European Union is unique by a number of things. One of them is that European Union is not imposing its agenda, and European Union is not pursuing any hidden agenda. We have no ambition to change the regimes. We have no ambition to change the global balance of power. We do not tell countries which policies to pursue. We are very happy if our partners, other countries of the world, are decided to build their societies on our principles, on our set of values, and we are ready to assist them. But still, our partners co-own the process. So we are not running the process for our partners. And this is what is called the famous European Union soft power. Soft power, which means that European Union is able to lead by example. Soft power means the power to inspire. That means inspire countries to try to change their systems to look like the countries of the European Union. And that's also the power to transform. And again, we do not transform our partners, we assist them to transform themselves. Look at my country, look at the region of Central Europe, 20 years ago and now. We have been transformed completely, it was our decision, and we managed to succeed with the assistance from the European Union. So this is what the European Union is about. And again, if I have to refer to the current challenges we are facing in the Eurozone, I want to assure you that we do not forget that there is a life outside of the European Union, and there are countries close to us, countries who are inspired by the European Union, and countries who need engagement, assistance from the European Union. And these are particularly the countries which belong to our common neighborhood. And we feel responsibility for these countries, for the development of these countries. We want to strengthen the political stability, economic prosperity of these countries. We want citizens of these countries to be more prosperous. And again, I can refer to Central Europe. I can refer to the region of the Western Balkans. But I can also refer to your country and to your region. We do feel responsible for your future, and we stand ready to assist you to achieve your dreams and your ambitions. Let me stress also that the speed and the depth of our common integration is in your hands. It's how you decide. It's what you want. You know very well that for the six countries to the east of European Union borders, we have created the program which is called Eastern Partnership. What does Eastern Partnership offer? What is it about? It offers three things which could be difficult to understand, but I hope it's not the case. The first one is political association. It means building a political system that is as close and as similar as the one of countries of the EU as possible. The second principle is economic integration, opening up the European common market for your countries. And the third one is visa liberalization, namely offering the perspective of traveling without visas to the countries of the European Union. So this is a perspective we offer. This perspective is tangible, is viable, and is credible. Eastern Partnership is an open-ended project. It is a project of modernization of your countries. It is a project that is based on mutual benefit. It's good for you, and it's good for us. And the end game of this project is a political and economic compatibility. It's much better for us to communicate, to do business, when we are respecting more or less the same rules of the game, when the same laws are applied, and when the same rights are protected. This is an open-ended project. That means we do not offer membership in the European Union. And this is the difference between the Eastern Partnership program and the enlargement program that has been offered to the countries of former Yugoslavia. Because for them, completing the program means joining the European Union. In the case of Eastern partners, we don't say automatically yes, and we don't say automatically no to the membership. That means, as I said at the beginning, you own the process, and you decide what will be at the end. We have six Eastern Partnership countries, three of them, Ukraine, Moldova, Georgia, have said clearly that they want to join the European Union. Your country is saying we want to get as close to the European Union as you let us. So let us see how far we can get together, and let us decide what's the best outcome, what's the best end game of this project. But this is about how you use this program and what you make out of it. Eastern Partnership Program is part of European Neighborhood Policy. European Neighborhood Policy covers countries to the east and to the south of the European Union. And this program was launched 9 years ago. Eastern Partnership is younger, and we started this program 4 years ago. And we can look back and we can see the results that have been already delivered as a part of Eastern Partnership program. Let me mention some of them. First one, in the economic sphere. Since the launch of Eastern Partnership program, we have doubled our mutual trade between the Eastern partners and European Union. For you, as well as for the other two countries of the Southern Caucasus, European Union is the major trade partner. For Armenia, it covers 32% of your overall trade. We are offering for you to become part of our free trade area, which opens completely new universe in terms of your business opportunities. My second point, in terms of results achieved, are, as I mentioned, the visa-free regimes. It's a technical process, requires change of legislation, number of practical steps, but in the end, there is a visa-free travel to the European Union. Armenia is doing quite well. In December last year, we signed the visa facilitation agreement, and we are going to sign very soon the readmission agreement. And then we will move to the next stage of this project. Speaking about the results of Eastern Partnership project, let me mention another area, which is the sector-wide cooperation. So that this cooperation brought many concrete results in such areas as border management, transport, environment, energy, or social protection. Next result is the multilateral cooperation. It's very important for us to see the six countries of Eastern Partnership to work together, to cooperate together, to share and exchange their experience, their knowledge. Because being able to communicate with your partners, with your neighbors, is the best recommendation for you to become part of the wider European family. And when I speak about exchange of the best practices and experiences, it's not only among politicians, but in particular among business people, among scientists, among students, and also among the civil society. And speaking about the results, we must not forget about the money. European Union is funding this program, and it's funding it substantially. For a period of 2011-2013, EU has provided 1.9 billion euro for the Eastern Partnership program. So these are the concrete results that have been achieved. And we can say we have achieved a great deal by now. But of course, there is no room for complacency. Much remains to be done. And let me mention a couple of areas where we believe improvement would be more than welcome. First of all, we speak about progress, and rightly so, but this progress has been uneven. We have countries which are successful, committed, but we have countries which have not achieved much and which are not so committed. In general, we would love to see more enthusiasm about the project. We've seen this enthusiasm at the beginning. Now we have entered into the stage where there is a lot of concrete work and technical work, and we want to see more commitment in general. This process is built on two pillars. One is meeting technical criteria, and on that one, most of our partners deliver quite well. But the other one, which is even more important, is to build your policies on the respect for European democratic values and principles. And here, the progress, in some cases, has been quite slow. We must understand that the commitment to European values, to European standards, European principles, is the cornerstone of any EU-related policy. You know that Eastern Partnership Program was launched 2009 in Prague. We have the second summit in Warsaw 2 years ago, and the highlight of this year will be the third summit, which is going to take place in Vilnius in November. We want this summit to be a success, and it will be a success. We already know that we will have many important positive results to demonstrate. And we want to show that the program works well, and we want to encourage our partners who have delivered on the basis of this program. Some of our partners want to have a wording that would acknowledge the European aspirations and to get the positive signals for further work. We will have we have one country, namely Ukraine, which has fair chances to sign the association agreement and DCFTA, which is the deep and comprehensive free trade area. And we have three countries, including yours, together with Georgia and Moldova, who have the best chances to complete the negotiations on these two parts of one document, association agreement, DCFTA, so that in Vilnius we will be able to announce completion of negotiations and do some ceremony to commemorate it. When we speak about association agreement and DCFTA, one should stress that these are the two sides of the same coin. Association agreement is demonstration of your commitment to European values. And this deep and comprehensive free trade area opens up European market for you and for your goods and for your business people. One cannot go without the other. Opening of the market is, in a way, your reward for your commitment to European standards. And this is how we see this basic document. Throughout the process of negotiating these documents and the whole program of the Eastern Partnership is built on several key principles. One of them is conditionality. That means we set the rules and we reward you according to the fulfillment of these rules. And these rules are here to help you to achieve the results. The second important principle is more for more, or less for less. Countries which are enthusiastic, active, committed, and demonstrate concrete results will receive more money from the European Union and will be invited to participate in more European programs. So we'll become more de facto players in European programs. Even if we speak about the European Union and the Eastern Partnership program, we must say that we are well aware that this is not the only game in town. We have Russia. Russia is promoting a different game, customs union and Eurasian Union, as an upgrade to the CIS platform. So let me have a couple of comments on this. First of all, it's up to our partners to decide where do they want to belong. But the Eastern Partnership program is not aimed against anybody. It's not aimed against Russia. It's not aimed against anyone else. It's not presented as take it or leave it, or either or. As a matter of fact, we do believe that the end goal of both is the same. Politically stable, economically prosperous, common neighborhood. What differs is the toolbox, the instruments, the policies, the principles. But Eastern Partnership is definitely a positive program. We have no hidden agenda. We have invited Russia to be part of this program or several aspects of this program. And as I said, we respect each country's individual decision. We do believe that Eastern Partnership and the political association with the European Union is very attractive, and we see this by enthusiastic response from our partners. Speaking about European Union policies and the Eastern Partnership in particular, in this part of the world, of course one cannot ignore the fact that there are so-called frozen conflicts. We have problems in Georgia, and we have the issue of Nagorno-Karabakh. European Union is not ignoring these facts. European Union tries to be helpful and is definitely engaging in this process. With regard to Nagorno-Karabakh, I want to say that first, we respect the role of the Minsk Group. We have no ambition to replace the Minsk Group. We try to be helpful to the Minsk Group and to help the Minsk Group to be successful. There are many things we can do to assist the Minsk Group, particularly on the day-to-day business, to increase the confidence along the line of conflict, and to help people to improve their living standards. And this is why the European Union has appointed its special representative for this region, for South Caucasus, with the aim to be the European Union's instrument, eye and ear, and to assist us and to assist the other international players who are trying to stabilize the situation. European Union is built on the respect for dialogue and for compromise, for cooperation. And this is why, in the course of last year, the European Union, within the Eastern Partnership Program, introduced the new platform, which is called Informal Dialogues, which brings together the Eastern Partnership Foreign Ministers, together with the High Representative Commissioner Füle, and if so requested by sectoral ministers, in order to discuss any agenda. And it's good to be able to sit down and discuss issues of mutual interest without taboos. I should not forget that I'm representing here my country, Slovakia, so let me also say how, not only how we see, but what we do to make the Eastern Partnership Program a success, because we see it exactly the same way as the European Union does. I come from the region of Central Europe, and our uniqueness is based on the fact that we have achieved all our dreams. We have joined the European Union, NATO, OECD, we are members of Schengen, we are members of Eurozone, and we have done all this, and we are ready to offer this experience to all those who are interested in following our path. So we are offering our partners something they cannot learn from books, in order not to repeat the mistakes we've made, and in order to speed up the processes using our experience. So we have created a special center for transfer of our experience, which is funded by our government. And within that center, we are inviting civil servants, journalists, parliamentarians, to offer them to focus, to study particular issues related to the transformations of your countries. And again, you talk to authentic people and you see how it works in our country. Second interesting project that has proved to be very successful in Slovakia and beyond is the project of National Convention for European Integration. This is a nationwide platform discussing what European integration is about, what European perspective is about. This was the platform that we've created at the time when we were about to join the European Union. And we had all segments of society, parliamentarians, local self-governments, trade unions, churches, civil society, just to make sure that we discuss the European agenda from everyone's perspective, so as to make sure that everybody understands what the European Union is about. This project has been a huge success, and after joining the European Union, we have been offering this project to other countries as a part of our official development assistance. It has worked very successfully in a number of countries of the Western Balkans, but we have offered this project and it has worked successfully also in Ukraine and in Moldova. So in case you are interested, again, we can transfer this program to Armenia, offer it as a part of our official development assistance. There is never enough information about the European Union, and this is a good way how to bridge this gap of information. I shall also mention Visegrad 4. Slovakia is part of the regional integration grouping called Visegrad 4, together with the Czech Republic, Poland and Hungary. Again, we are offering lots of know-how about regional communication, cooperation, integration. But more than that, we have created a so-called International Visegrad Fund, which is based in Bratislava. As a part of this fund, we have created a special program, V4 Eastern Partnership Program, which is budgeted by close to 4 million euro, financing specific concrete projects in Eastern Partnership programs. We are offering university scholarships for university students. As of today, more than 600 students from Eastern Partnership countries have used this scholarship. So it's, I believe it's good to know that these are all the possibilities. Your country has done very well on the association agreement ECFT negotiations, and I want to congratulate you on this. What comes up now, what comes after Vilnius, is a painful and not very attractive but very important phase of implementing what has been agreed, changing the legislation. You will need a lot of experience, you will need lots of administrative capacity, you will need lots of assistance, including financial assistance. So please be smart, look around, look what the European Union can do for you to help you, but look what member states of the European Union, such as mine, can do to assist you in particular areas. So, to conclude, let me sum up the key principles of my presentations once again as I try to present them. First of all, your country is important for us. We want you to be successful because your success is our success. We very much appreciate your strategic choice about your orientation. And you can rest assured that we are here to help you and to assist you. Countries like mine have a particular advantage of having lived on the both sides of the fence. We were outside, dreaming about becoming a member. Now we are members, but we have not forgotten how it feels to be outside. And this uniqueness gives us an advantage which we are offering to you and to others who are willing to use this. You deserve an ambitious future. Right now, this future is defined by political association, economic integration, visa liberalization. It could be more. It depends on you. We are ready to assist you to achieve your dreams and to advocate your ambitions, also with regard to the European Union. We are ready to share our experience with you. I want to stress once again the importance of regional cooperation and regional dialogue. I know the situation is not simple. Nonetheless, this is a dimension that must not be ignored or forgotten. There are no easy solutions, there are no quick fixes. It's about the process. Process that is changing you and making you more and more European. We must not forget that the process is based on criteria, on conditionality, and that the European Union is rewarding those who are more committed by offering more in all senses, more money, more engagement, more involvement. It's extremely important to make sure that the European agenda enjoys widest possible political and public support. Otherwise, you cannot succeed. And of course, you should identify, together with the European Union, the areas to which you need to pay particular attention, the obvious ones, not only for your country, but for most countries of the Eastern Partnership, are judiciary, fight against corruption, increase in public administration capacity. So let's make sure that the Vilnius Summit is a success for you, is a success for the Eastern Partnership, is a success for the European Union. We want you to be successful in order for us to be successful. And let's continue working, improving the living standards of your population, improving the legal framework, improving the standards for protection of human rights for your citizens. And let me assure you once again that you are not alone in this endeavor. You have friends in the European Union who are ready not only to share their experience, but also to help you financially, materially, and in all other means. So I wish you a success, and I want to thank you for your attention.